Welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf, the show that lifts the lid on New Zealand's distilling magic. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf, your guide to the flavours, the people and the inspiration behind our top local spirits. We'll hear what drives these distillers to create their signature blends and maybe discover a new favourite along the way. So whether you're a gin lover or a whiskey wizard, join us on the ride and always keep it classy and drink responsibly.
Kia ora and welcome back to Tales from the Top Shelf. I'm Susie Carrig from the NZ Spirit Guide, and today we're diving into the rich, velvety world of cream liqueurs with someone whose story is steeped in family tradition. Wills Cameron is the third generation behind Remarkable Cream, a business that began with his grandfather's dream in the late 1970s, took shape through his father's innovation, and now carries on with Wills at the helm. What started as an idea to rival Irish cream has become a much-loved Kiwi classic, blending New Zealand cream, triple distilled vodka, and a whole lot of heart and flavour. So grab yourself a glass and let's hear the story behind the aluminium bottle. Welcome, Wills, and thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me, Susie. Looking forward to it.
Wonderful. Right. Now, usually I start by asking what life looked like before someone got into distilling. But in your case, the business was sort of in motion before you were even born. Do you remember when you first became aware of the whole liquor industry, and what's your earliest memory of Remarkable Cream in the part of your world?
Yeah, for sure. So the memory burned into my brain would be around like 7, 8, 9 years old, putting caps on bottles and just my father saying, don't put your hand under the cap or it'll rip your hand off. And so that was the main thing. It was a very important detail to remember, I guess, at the time. So yeah. I would be putting the caps on the bottles and my siblings would be down the other end of the line. And yeah, I'd say that would be it.
Wow. Okay. And then, so liquor just seems to run through the blood in your family. Did you always know that you were going to follow in your dad and grandfather's footsteps, or was there a moment that really sort of clicked for you?
Oh, no, certainly not. Like I was doing my own thing years ago, and I was more into cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and tech and things like that. And then a few things came together. Probably in a bad way, really. 6 years ago, my father had hurt himself at work, and then I was kind of finishing up my studies and wasn't sure what to do. So flew down to Queenstown, drove him up to Auckland to be closer by. And I knew he had some old bottles. They were halfway through the shelf life. So I took them out to market, and people liked the product. But, you know, there was a lot of fundamental things that weren't going to work if we tried it a third time. It was an old brown stout bottle, $15 on the shelf next to Canterbury Cream, you know, the classic New Zealand beverage commodity play. Don't try and compete with the big successful international brands. And I just thought, it's not going to work. It'd be a third time down the drain again. So, yeah, so we'd give it another go.
Okay, so you use real New Zealand cream, triple distilled vodka, and you keep things free from artificial colours and flavours. That's a pretty strong commitment to keep it sort of clean and natural. What inspired you to take that approach with the liqueurs?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's driven by a misconception that just because someone is drinking alcohol that they don't care about their health. Whereas in actual fact, there's a lot of people who do care about their health, but when they, you know, reach for an indulgent treat, they might want it to be on the natural side, or they want it to be made with real cream instead of vegetable oil, which would be a common product in the competition's products. You know, catering to certain niches, you know, like all our products are gluten-free. Some of our products are low lactose or even lactose-free, and some of them are almost sugar-free. We call them keto, you know, so like under 2 grams carbs per 100 mil.
Okay, so you touched on those international and local brands, and you're competing in a space that is quite dominated. What do you want people to feel, taste, or think when they sip on Remarkable Cream for the first time?
Oh, I mean, the absolute first thing is, you know, we don't need patriots. We don't need people who just choose us because it's a Kiwi product. We want people to try the product and go, oh my God, it's the best thing I've ever tried. It's the best product on the shelf. The mouthfeel is silky and indulgent. The flavor profile's got three or four different, you know, nicely balanced things going on. It's a flavor journey. You know, I could give, what's one example? You know, like the Christmas eggnog. You have a sip of it. It's a little bit of that cream custard up front. Then you get the cinnamon, and then at the last moment you get that lingering, you know, fragrant brandy at the end. Whereas a product that perhaps doesn't have the level of development, it's just going to be a flat line. I'm tasting vanilla, which is not as exciting, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's go into some of those flavors, because there's some cracking flavors. From butterscotch to dark chocolate, espresso, and you touched on the keto-friendly option. How do those all come about? And was there one that surprised you by how much people loved it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the butterscotch started because that was, you know, my father had five main flavors and products, and when I took it to market, people liked the butterscotch, so I thought I'll run with that. It's kind of a safe flavor, but also not boring like caramel. You know, it's like a brown sugar butterscotch. It's got that kind of buttery, burnt caramel profile to it, brown sugar. And then from there, you know, we did try and tick off the, you know, the classic, the biggest flavors in the world, of course, vanilla, caramel, chocolate. So, but we didn't want to be boring either. So even with a dark chocolate, you know, the logic is you can always add a little milk to it or have it over ice if it's too strong, but you can't make it stronger if you like it stronger. So we meant, you know, without making it all grainy and cocoa-y. So, yeah, what's the one that surprised us? I mean, certainly recently the Christmas eggnog has been quite popular, causing those midnight shifts. And it is an excellent product. I mean, when my father, because he's kind of semi-retired now, but he came in the other day and he said, oh, I better try this bloody thing, this new one you've made. And he tried it and his eyes kind of lit up. He said, oh, it's very drinkable, isn't it? So, you know, yeah, we do try.
Okay, let's talk about the eggnog, because it has turned into this complete sensation. It's lighter than traditional eggnog with cinnamon, nutmeg, and vanilla, and it sold out super fast. And like you said, you're pulling those midnight hours. Did you ever imagine that it would have taken to this level of demand?
No, not really. I mean, I forecasted a decent amount of sales, and we ordered bottles for that, and then they were all gone. So we had to urgently get our hands on more bottles, which is difficult for us. But no, we launched, like, I lose track, probably five main product launches this year. And this was obviously the biggest one. But I think it's also a matter of, you know, people always say in the beverage industry, oh, don't do too many SKUs, don't dilute everything, and you're cannibalizing your own market and stuff like that. And it's true. You know, you want to rationalize SKUs, but also activity brings activity. And we put out a lot of products very quickly. And I think the speed of trialing and experimenting is what's really led to the eggnog. It's not so much that, oh, that it's the eggnog and that's gone really well. It's we've been putting out a lot of stuff for a while, and I think we'll probably keep doing that.
Yeah. So why do you think that New Zealand has embraced the eggnog so much? I mean, I've got a theory of my own to why Kiwis have brought into it, but I'd love to hear what your take is really, why people have connected so strongly with it.
Oh, I mean, I think it's really obvious. So the eggnog's always been in New Zealand. Every year people have been enjoying eggnog, and just no one's made it. And the number one reason I made the eggnog this year instead of next year is I just thought someone's going to make it soon, surely. Why has it not been done? And I just thought, geez, I better do it quickly before someone else makes it. And I think it's really, you know, everyone knows the Christmas lunch or Christmas dinner, they got the auntie who brings out the eggnog with a bit of brandy or rum. And so when we launched it, I think it was tapping into a latent or existing demand, existing cultural phenomenon. I think that's a good direction to go. So that would be my answer, but I could be wrong.
Well, my answer is that, and being a 10 years roughly older than you, I grew up with, I guess, all the American shows of them talking about eggnog. But when it came to Christmas time, it was either too hot or mum was just too busy to make it. And so now you've like, I mean, I haven't even tasted it yet. I need to have a bottle because it's like I've always dreamed of tasting eggnog, but I can never be bothered making it. And I think, yeah, congratulations. I think you've completely tapped into a market. Now, you mentioned the bottle. Now, it does stand out. It's a striking silver aluminium design instead of the classic glass. That's unusual for a cream liqueur. What made you decide on the aluminium packaging, and how much does that matter to you for taste, freshness, sustainability, and also brand identity?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think it's good to be different. So when we first started, we're actually in a glass wine bottle, but we put a paper wrapped sleeve around it. You know, it's just to be different, really. Yeah, it wasn't the best approach, but it was different, and it got us past the first milestone. But yeah, the aluminium bottle solves various problems for us. Most of it's quite specific to our business model, so blocks UV light, doesn't really matter for most products, but for cream liqueurs, it really matters. And then, obviously, they're quite durable. So we send parcels over to Australia, Zimbabwe, Israel, Germany, UK, and they don't break. You know, they can go on a rickshaw into the depths of the mountains somewhere, and it's going to be the last thing that survives. So it's great.
That's very true. I'd never thought. I mean, obviously, it's lighter, but yeah, you could send it anywhere around the world. Now, as we've rolled into the new year, what's on the horizon for Remarkable Cream? Is there any new flavors brewing, or other seasonal releases, or even new markets that you're eyeing up?
Yeah, I mean, there is definitely a lot in the pipeline, but at the moment, I think it's just a matter of just work on the operational excellence, and we've been doing our own distribution for a few months now. It's going quite well, and we just want to keep pushing ahead, really. So there's great untapped potential in the New Zealand market across various channels. And then, January 15th, we get the keys to the new factory. So that will be quite the move. And then, I think that's just about enough for next year. It's going to be pretty busy.
Yeah. I've moved a factory once before. There's certainly, it's quite a tricky task, that's for sure. You've got quite a job ahead of you. So, all right, Wills, it's the end of a working week. What's the go-to drink of yours from your range, and how do you like to enjoy it?
Me personally, out of all the creme liqueurs, you know, I don't really drink them too much because I'm around it all the time, but I do love the dark chocolate. And I think the dark chocolate for me is very versatile. You can, you know, have it with a splash of peppermint or a splash of orange, or, you know, actually various other ways. But yeah, it goes beyond even just a cream liqueur. It's just like, if you like chocolate or you love chocolate, then you'll probably enjoy it. And I think that's the thing about cream liqueurs, which we are trying to change, is people think of the grandma sipping there on Baileys or something, or you know, a cheap Irish cream, and it's like, well, actually, there's so much more to it. It's about, you know, how it carries the flavor, and you can make it into cocktails, you can have it over Christmas pudding. So yeah, I think there's more to it.
What's your favorite way to cook with it? Do you have a favorite dessert recipe or anything you enjoy?
Yeah, I mean, again, for me, it would be chocolate because I like chocolate. So, and I would just do it into a cold set chocolate mousse. So, like, just get the dark chocolate, melt a little bit of extra chocolate in there, maybe some Whittakers or something, and then melt that in there. Add a little bit of extra heavy cream that helps to overpower the destabilizing effect of the alcohol. So, a bit of extra heavy cream, some chocolate. Remarkable Cream dark chocolate in there, and then whatever your choice of setting agent is, agar agar or gelatine, and yeah, you're good to go. Check it in the fridge.
That certainly sounds delicious to add to the festive table at this time of year. Okay, so let's talk about some of these award-winning trios that you've got. You've got Brazilian dark roast coffee, whiskey, and horopito is a nice New Zealand flavor, and the Rum Espresso, all flavours that have taken home top medals. It's a brilliant bundle for people who can't quite decide which one they love most. Perfect for someone like me. What do you think it is about these three that made them such standout winners?
Yeah, I mean, starting with the Brazilian dark roast, because that did win gold, but then actually take out the overall trophy, so best liqueur. I know it sounds kind of almost generic, but it is like a flavor-first strategy. So everyone wants their products to taste the best, of course, but it's a matter of how much are you willing to sacrifice to make it taste the best. So there's like cost, and then there's like the actual like physical and human cost of the person who's doing the product development and the production and everything like that, to the point like I have like scars on my hands from like how difficult it is to operate and make the product and everything like that. Like, I'm not kidding. So yeah, it is very difficult to make. And with the Brazilian dark roast, we went through many, many iterations of it, and we've got better and better at making coffee cream liqueurs. The rum espresso is actually on a different end of the spectrum. So where the Brazilian dark is roasty and smoked and dark, that really punchy, bold, dark coffee, the rum espresso is our usual vodka and cream base, and then we add in a fruity Queensland white rum and like a fragrant light roast coffee. So like normally it's a Guatemalan or Central American light roast coffee extract. So that is, yeah, more like your rum and coffee on the lighter end. And then in the middle, yeah, the whiskey and Jorapito is a very unique Kiwi product in the sense that we still don't really have like a national identity with flavors in outside the space of like kiwi fruit, feijoa, and a couple of other things, maybe manuka honey. But in that kind of cream liqueur space, there's certainly no national identity. Like, and kiwi fruit wasn't going to work.
No.
So back to the drawing board. And, you know, Jorapito has that nice spiced, almost peppery profile. We put a little kawakawa in there, manuka honey, Thompson whiskey, their two blend. And yeah, it all just comes together into something which is almost hard to identify, but I kind of describe it as a botanical spiced cream liqueur, or even, you know, an Irish cream with a kiwi twist.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think the judges recognized the extra effort put into it.
Yeah, I mean, Jorapito would have to be one of my favorite botanicals, the peppery note that it brings out, whether it be in gin or in a whiskey cream liqueur.
No, 100%.
Right, Wills, thank you very much for sharing the remarkable cream story with us. From your grandfather's bold beginnings to your take on your own flavour and innovation, it's clear that it isn't just about cream liqueur. It's about heritage, creativity, and a sense of New Zealand pride poured into every bottle. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Much appreciated. Thanks, Susie.
Right. Now, if you're curious to try Remarkable Cream for yourself, whether it's their award-winning trio, a keto creation, or one of their bold new flavours, head to nzspiritguide.com, the only place dedicated entirely to New Zealand spirits, making it easy for you to discover and support local. Until next time, stay curious, drink responsibly, and keep your top shelf full of stories.
That's a wrap on this episode of Tales from the Top Shelf. We hope you've enjoyed this peek into the craft and creativity behind New Zealand's distilling scene. As always, sip slow, enjoy responsibly, and don't forget to support our incredible local spirit makers. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf. Catch you next time for more behind the bar stories.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.